That, you're right, Pastor. That was a great lead into where we're going tonight. Our word doesn't end in shun or ology, but ants. And I was kind of totaling up how many points this would be. I think this would be a game winner right here. If you could spell repentance, maybe get a triple score in there, at least once in Scrabble, that would do it. So, how many of you desire to change? Little more than our going away for Easter for lunch. Excellent. I think we asked that question, right? It's a no-brainer. Whether we have questions about the faith, we haven't crossed over into knowing Jesus yet, we're still figuring it out. There's a desire in our hearts to want to change. Whether we're a new believer, new in the faith, we have a desire to want to change. Whether we've been a believer for a while or a very long time, each and every one of us has a desire to change, to grow, and to be more like Jesus. Well, repentance is the first step in all change. And so tonight I want to talk to you just about, what does repentance mean? What is it? And how does it affect my life right now? So first we want to define it. And repentance means this: a change of mind about sin and about God. A change of mind about sin and about God. It's from the Greek word metanoia, which is two words that come together. Meta meaning new, and noia meaning mind. So it means a new mind that is having a different perspective, a change of mind about how we used to view our own sin and how we used to view God. And the reason that it's the first step in all change is because all change starts in the mind, doesn't it? I mean, if you have a dream, if you have a desire, you have a plan, it starts up here, right? When you're thinking about it, you're like, we could just make this work, and you're meddling around in your mind of what that'll look like. It starts here before you actually go out and take action to make those things happen. So here's how it works. True repentance, it starts in the mind. Then it moves to your heart, then it changes your direction. So perhaps a full definition of repentance is a change of mind about sin and about God, which results in the turning from sin to God. You know, I love GPS, don't you? And I used to travel a lot for one of my former jobs that I had, and I'm from Iowa, but my region was Philadelphia. I got lost all the time. And I love it with a GPS now. I can go and be confident driving anywhere, right? Are you with me on that? And if you turn, and if you go in the wrong direction, you don't have to freak out. When you have MapQuest, you just be like, these are no good anymore, right? And it says recalculating. And ultimately, that's the heart of repentance, the change of mind that then requires you to then change your direction. Which is what two guys in this clip needed to do. Watch this.
Proceed straight.
Well, we're 0 for 6. Last chance is the Elmhurst Country Club. Other side of the lake on the southeast side.
I don't get it. I really don't get it. I thought this would work. Threw everything I had at that guy, nothing.
That's how it goes sometimes, you know. You lose everything, and everything falls apart, and eventually you die and no one remembers you.
That is a very good point to make.
Make a right turn.
Wait. No. It means bear right.
No.
Up there.
It said right. It said take a right.
No. Look. It means go up to the right, bear right, over the bridge, and hook up with 307.
Make a right
turn. Maybe it's
turn.
A shortcut, Dwight. It said go to the right.
It can't mean that. There's a lake there.
I think he knows where it is going.
This is the
lake. Machine knows.
This is the lake.
Stop yelling at me.
No, it's not me. There's no lake
here.
Remain calm. I have trained for this. Okay.
Exit the window!
Here we go.
Make a U-turn, if possible.
Look out for leeches! Michael! Are you okay? Swim for it!
Did you guess what the GPS said there at the last moment? Make a U-turn, if possible. Right? That's what repentance is. It's a change of mind that requires you then to change your direction. And repentance with faith is the first step of change because it's the vehicle that brings us into a saving relationship with Christ. I don't want to confuse us because we believe and the Bible teaches that salvation is through faith alone. And obviously there are scriptures that tell us that clearly, right? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, John 3, 16, we believe we have eternal life. But repentance is also mentioned along with belief. Like this one here in Matthew 3, verse 2, where it says this. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the message of John the Baptist. Repent, turn from your sins and turn to God. Luke 24, 46 through 47. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So faith and repentance, they join together in salvation. They bring us to God. It's kind of like identical twins that are inseparable, right? And they dress alike, and they have really similar names, like Mindy and Missy, you know? Maybe something like this, and they date other twins like them. I did know a pair of twins that dressed alike, and their names were Mindy and Missy. And it was, I don't know why their parents did that, because it's hard enough knowing who you're talking to. It's one of my biggest fears. I'm sitting there and I'm like, am I talking to Mindy or Missy? I maybe look if one had a freckle on their right hand so I could identify one of them, right? But they were inseparable. They dressed alike. They went everywhere together. So like faith and repentance, that you have to first see your sin and then turn to God in order to place your faith in him, that he and he alone can take care of your sin. It's kind of like a quarter, right? Anybody have a quarter? I'm supposed to have one, but I totally forgot. Anybody have a quarter? Nobody. Nobody carries cash anymore. Of course not, right? Here, give me your debit card. Okay, there we go. All right. Awesome. Thank you. So quarter, right? You take this into the bank, and you give them this quarter, and they flip it over, and they're like, wait, it's only got heads on it, right? Like, that is counterfeit. That's not a real quarter. It's got to have both heads and tails. So just imagine with me for a moment that faith and repentance are on the same coin called conversion, okay? And so you got to have both the heads, the faith, and the repentance that is the tails, two sides of the exact same coin. I'll give it back to you at the end. How's that sound? You want me to keep it? Okay, all right. Conversion and repentance is how you become converted. It's how you come into a relationship with God. And we see this again. One of my favorite verses to commit to memory, Mark 1:15, where it says this. And saying this, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Here they are together. Repent and believe in the gospel. That is the good news of Jesus. And that's what it is. Admitting that I'm a sinner, that I can't save myself, that I need Jesus to come into my life. That's how conversion, that's how we are saved. That's how we come to know God, by believing in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. But here is what I want to talk about, what conversion isn't, okay? Conversion is repentance and belief. I want to tell you this, you're not saved through an experience, okay? An experience does not save you. Say you're at a Christian concert, and it's just at that right moment where there's a giant crescendo, and then the guy yells into the microphone, Jesus, right? And you feel that feeling of, woo, I feel really good right now, right? Like, maybe that was my conversion experience. No, it wasn't. You just felt really good. Now, perhaps that instance of that experience ends up leading you to Christ, where you acknowledge that I need Jesus, I repent of my sins, and turn to him. So your conversion is not an experience, although that experience might lead you to belief in Christ. It is repentance and belief in Jesus Christ alone and his finished work that saves you and how you enter the Christian life. So repentance and belief is how we enter into the Christian life. But it's also the primary way that we grow in Christ, is to be continual repenters. Martin Luther, the first of his 95 theses, says this: would that the entire life of a believer be one of repentance. So if repentance is the first step of change for salvation, it's also the first step of growth in our sanctification, living a life of continual repentance, of changing our mind and changing our direction to be more like Christ. So let's talk a little bit about what conversion or what repentance is not. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, if you have a Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 8 through 10. And I want to submit to you this, that repentance is not feeling sorry or remorse alone. Repentance is not feeling sorry or remorse alone. Let's read this together. And by together means I'll read it out loud and you follow along. Sometimes I do that with the middle schoolers and they start reading with me. That's not what I meant. Sorry about that. So you follow along as I read this. Here we go. Verse 8. For even if I made you grieve with my letter, I did not regret it, though I did regret it, for I see that later grieved you, though only for a while. So Paul, talking to the church in Corinth, he's written them a letter in between 1 and 2 Corinthians that we don't have, a letter of rebuke, a letter where he calls them out, and it says that it grieved you, and I was sorry that it grieved you. But he comes back and he hears from Titus, and he says in verse 9, as it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting, for you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. So we see there that grief or sorrow isn't a bad thing. In fact, one of the things the Holy Spirit does is convicts us of guilt, right? Shows us our sin. But grief and sorrow without a turning away from sin is a dangerous thing because it can give you the feeling of repentance without actually turning back to Christ. When I was in high school, I lived in the basement of our house. And we had several movie channels that my parents were unaware of. If you have those, you should probably know about them and put some parental controls on there. There was a point in my life where I would stay up late at night and watch awful, inappropriate, sinful things on those movie channels. And I felt terrible about it. Awful. Grieved. I would go to bed and think, what did I just do? I would go to a conference and I'd think, oh man. I hate this. I don't want to do this anymore. So I would weep over the things that I had seen and what I watched that I could never remove from my mind. But I never told anyone about it. I never turned away from it. In those moments, I felt really bad, and I almost felt good in a sense, because like, yeah, okay, I feel bad about this. But I would go back and do the same thing over and over and over again. So I got married, and we signed up for cable, right? And like the first 3 months, you get like the package of everything, and you have to call and cancel it, or else you get like a cable bill for $1,000 within those 3 months. Maybe you've been there. Not Mediacom. I like Mediacom. But I remember we had those movie channels, and I said to my wife, Mandy, I said, you need to put the parental controls on those. Like my kid was 1 year old at the time. She couldn't watch it if she wanted to. I said, you don't need to put them on there. You need to put them on there for myself, for me. Because the problem wasn't TV. It wasn't cable. I was the problem. I had the issue. I knew I wasn't strong enough. I knew that even though I had grown in maturity, that growing in maturity was taking necessary steps of repentance to stay away from the temptation that so easily could draw me in. And so I put those on there, and I repented and said, I don't want to view these things. I don't want this to be a part of my life. I want to grow in holiness. Now, did I still struggle in other areas? Sure. But here's what J.D. Greer says. He says, repentance is not the absence of struggle, but of settled defiance. Repentance doesn't mean that your struggle will automatically go away, but the defiance of, I'm going to keep doing this on my own. I'm going to keep on doing this without any kind of repentance. I might feel guilty, but repentance means that it's you turn away from that sin. So repentance is not just feeling sorry or remorse alone. It's when you feel sorry, when you feel guilty, you turn away from it. Here's a second thing that repentance is not. Repentance is not turning from sin to do good things. Repentance is not turning from sin to do good things. Here's what I mean by that. Well, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 1:9. You got that? You want to throw that up there? Talking of the church in Thessalonica. For they themselves report concerning the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So it says they turned away from idols, idol worship, to serve God, to turn to God. Notice how it doesn't say they turned away from idols to start planting organic gardens or carpooling to save gas or to start volunteering or to turn from God only to listen to Christian music. You see, we could mistake repentance very easily for legalism. And when we turn away from sin to add good things into our lives, that's not repentance. Repentance is turning away and you turning and running towards Christ, pursuing God, drawing near to him as he draws near to you, getting into his word. I read a lot of books when I was young and by guys like Donald Miller and stuff like that, and they said, you should really only read the Bible when you feel like it, because God wants your heart, not just your empty ritual. Oh, that's wrong thinking. God gets to your heart when you're in his word. That's how he shows you who he is, and that's how he causes you to repent by seeing the heart of God. He gets into your heart. So repent and turn to Christ, and then catch this. Let Jesus reveal to you the good things that he wants you to do in your life. Maybe he has called you to serve or to listen to Christian music as a conviction, to spend less time on your phone, eat less McDonald's, except for the Shamrock Shakes. It's only a month. That's okay. But as you grow closer to Christ, you will begin to find that you find less of a satisfaction in sin and more in Christ. It's not that sin, the joy of that sin will go away, but you will find it will decrease less and less by your superior satisfaction in Christ. And I think we see this best, and I love this verse from the book of Hebrews, speaking of Moses, chapter 11, verse 24. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. So notice it doesn't say that there's no pleasure in sin. If there wasn't, we wouldn't do it, right? But it's a fleeting pleasure. It's a momentary pleasure. He considered the reproach to suffer for Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking towards the reward. So he looked at sin and said, ah, there is pleasure in that, but my desire for Christ eclipses that. I desire him more. And as I draw nearer to Christ and I behold his face, I will notice that these sins will become less attractive to me. They won't go away, but man, as you gaze into Jesus' face, you'll say, this is where the superior satisfaction is. So repentance is not behavior modification, but it will change your behavior. MacArthur says this, it's not merely behavior reform, but because true repentance involves a change of heart, it will inevitably result in a change of behavior. So it's not about turning over a new leaf. It's about turning to Christ and running to his arms. So if it's not merely feeling sorry or turning to do good things, then how do I know if I repented? How do I know if my repentance is real? Well, we'll get some help from James McDonald on this. If you want some good links about repentance, we have some of those from James. But here's the first one he says. There will be confession in your life. There'll be confession. Confession is the word homologeto, okay, where we get homo, which means the same. Legeto means say, okay? So it means same say. That is, to confess means to say the same thing about your sin that God does. To see it as ugly. To see it as an offense to God. Saying the same thing about your sin that God does. This time I need 20 bucks. Who's got 20 bucks? That's a little more. $20? Come on, get your wallets out. 20 bucks. Somebody's got 20 bucks. Okay, there we go. Okay. Two tens, that'll work. All right, awesome. Thank you.
Did they need it back?
Well, I'm not giving it back. So it's a confession, right? It's saying, seeing your sin the same way that God sees it. But it doesn't stop there. Number two is restitution. Was it wrong for me to take Lynn's 20 bucks and put it in my pocket? Yes, right? You should all do this, right? It's wrong of me. You're right, I admit that. That was very wrong of me. So restitution. No, right? Restitution means, now don't try to be generous and let me keep it because it'll ruin my illustration, okay, Lynn? All right. Restitution means you give it back. You make right with the person that your sin has wronged. Wasn't that a beautiful example of that from Greg's story? Making right the sin that you offended God and someone else. A great example of this is Zacchaeus, right? He repaid a bunch of times more than he ever took away. That's true repentance. It means that you change your life. You agree with God about your sin, and then you turn. And you turn to Christ and you make things right. You see, when we come into a relationship with God through belief and repentance, that's God's doing, isn't it? Right? We've been studying through Romans chapter 9. Sovereignty and salvation. God is the one in charge of salvation. Remember that this morning in the last couple of weeks, right? God does that. He is the one that draws us into salvation. So God turns our hearts through the Spirit, and he continues to work in us to be more like Jesus. Here's the deal. God not only draws you in salvation, but he draws you to himself and your sanctification as well. He doesn't say, okay, I saved you. Now I have nothing to do with your growth. In fact, he has everything to do with it. There's still responsibility on your part, but God himself, he grants you repentance. Look at this, 2 Timothy 2:25. Correcting his opponents with gentleness, that God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. Philippians 2, right? It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it is God who works, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So there is an element of where we are working in tandem with God as he changes our desires, as he continues to mold our hearts and our minds to be more like him. God is working, still changing us. He's in charge, drawing us to himself. So you need to start, instead of going and thinking, I need to change my actions, but instead crying out to God and saying, oh God, I want to change. Change me. Repentance is saying, I can't change myself. I've turned to do good things, but what I need to do is turn to you so that you change my desires. Grant me repentance to be more like you, Jesus. It's not that you will never sin. It's not that you won't desire to sin anymore, but as a believer, we want to be quick to repent. We want to be the first ones to repent and say, I was wrong. And I want to return back to Christ. Watson says this, be as speedy in your repentance as you would have God to be in his mercy. It's a good quote, isn't it? So maybe you're here and you do have questions. You wonder about, you know, what's this stuff we're talking about, repentance, coming to know God. Let me invite you. Acknowledge your sins before God. Believe in Christ. Turn from your sins. Believe that Jesus died in your place, that he rose again, and he offers you eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. Repent for the first time and come to know Christ tonight. What about you, believer, from the newest to the oldest? You need to continue to repent. And in this way, you show dependence on God. You show humility. I'm not doing this on my own. Are there some things in your life right now that maybe there's produced some worldly sorrow, and it needs to be turned into godly sorrow? Sorrow that leads you to repentance, to turn to Christ. Ask him for it. Turn to him. Admit, say the same thing that he does, and turn to Jesus. And if you do that tonight, you're going to need to do it tomorrow. You're going to need to do it next week and the next day after that. And as you grow in maturity, I think you'll repent even more because you'll start to see how terrible your sins really are and how great God is. So living a life of repentance. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. This is what he demands of his followers. It's not an easy beliefism where I say a prayer and I can now live however I want to. But Jesus is Lord of our lives, and we're submitting to his lordship and saying, I want to be like you, Jesus. I want to follow you, and I want to know you and be obedient to you. But you can never do that perfectly, can you? That's why I love Acts 2:36. We have that up there. Let's throw that up there. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you've crucified. So Lord, being the one who is in charge, has demands, calls the shots over your life, and also Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. And when we fail, when we're unsuccessful, he was. He was successful. When we sinned, he did not. When we lied, he told the truth. And if we are in Christ, that's what God sees. Because on the cross, he bore our punishment and the wrath of God because of the hatred over our sin. I deserved it. But Jesus took my place, and I was raised in a newness of life. I'm unified with Christ in his death and resurrection. His perfect life is in my place. I am fully accepted by the Father, not on my performance, but on his perfect performance in my place. That's why we repent. Not so that we can earn the favor of God, but because we already have it in Jesus. Amen. Continue to repent. Continue to put your life up against Christ's life and say, I don't measure up. I'm saying that I agree with you that my sin is ugly. I want to hate it. I want to turn from sin, and I want to know Christ even more. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Therefore, repent and believe the gospel. Continue to believe it. Continue to know Jesus and to know him more. Change your mind. And when you hear that GPS of the Holy Spirit inside of you going, it's time to recalculate, agree with him and turn the opposite direction. Not towards something that's really good, not towards a legalistic thing, but turning back to the only one that can change you, and that's Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. Let's pray. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. God, we thank you that you offer forgiveness of sins. God, it's a big word, but it's a easy word to define. And if we're walking with you, God, we find it easier to do, even when it seems hard. God, may we get into the word when we don't feel like it. May we see your heart so that you get a hold of ours. May we pray to you, talk to you. May we be with other believers and be challenged and encouraged. And may we desire to turn from our sin, say agree with it of what it is, and turn to you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.